Hello, welcome. And I want to begin our message today with one question. What is a hero? What makes someone a hero? Maybe you've got a personal hero in your own life. If you're anything like me, you hear the word hero, you automatically put the prefix super in front of it as well. And maybe you've got a favourite superhero. Maybe you're familiar with the Help for Heroes campaign to help and honour the armed forces personnel who put themselves in danger for the sake of others. Maybe you think of frontline workers during the pandemic and the sort of Clap for Heroes campaign and things like that, who have been putting themselves out there in order to accomplish tasks at risk to themselves whilst the rest of us are staying at home. Maybe you think of your own parent or someone else that has sacrificed time or resources to benefit and to help you. Well, what do all of these ideas have in common? The people that we call heroes never fully achieve what they strive for. The same might be true for heroes who stand up for particular causes. Very rarely will they see their cause that they stand up for completely resolved. A superhero never fully wipes out evil. Armed forces personnel never fully achieve the peace that they're fighting for. Frontline workers, particularly those in the medical profession, never eradicate sickness and suffering completely. But that's something they strive towards. They work towards that ideal nonetheless. And I think this striving to achieve something, even though you may not see it fully completed, is part of what it is to be a hero. Our section of text that we're looking at today is often headed up as being about heroes of faith. It's not an official title or anything like that, but it's often referred to as the Heroes of Faith chapter. Well, what does it mean then to be a hero of faith? Well, verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 11, which we're looking at today, has a wonderful definition of faith. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we do not see it. Not just the material things that we can see before us. When we can't see God or feel him, it can be hard to remain fully convinced, especially when so many bad things might be happening around us. Now, the Old Testament is full of examples of those who did manage it. And verse 2 says, "This is the reason why we remember great people who lived in the past." We've heard some selected verses from Hebrews chapter 11 today and perhaps heard about what they managed to achieve because they showed faith and endured some of the toughest circumstances. Abraham and Sarah endured some tough times when to the outside world it looked like they were not going to be able to have children. They made some difficult moves, they followed God's directions, and they were able to have children whose descendants became a great nation because they trusted God in those tough times. Jacob, who it said by faith, by trusting God, blessed Joseph's sons and even was able to worship as he was dying. Moses, who trusted God when he prepared that very first Passover in captivity in Egypt, putting the blood round the doors, trusting that God would act and would spare the firstborns of Israel. The Israelites, who crossed the Red Sea when it parted, showed that they trusted God. It's not a particularly short walk, I'm sure, and to walk between walls of water held back on each side shows, you've got to show some trust in order to be able to do that. And similarly, when they marched round the walls of Jericho, they trusted that God would take those down. And we hear about examples of others who by faith defeated kingdoms. They managed to act in the right way even when it wasn't easy. They were spared death in battle. They stopped great fires and did all sorts of fantastic things. However, although they are known and profiled for their faith in the passage we've seen here, none really received the complete fulfillment of what they were promised. Abraham and Sarah lived to become parents, but didn't live to see them become a great nation. Moses lived to see the promised land from a distance, but not enter and inherit it. Why, then, were these Hebrew Christians who received this letter originally written to about these figures? And what does it mean for us? Well, we're going to sing together a song first and then explore those questions. Why was it important to the original recipients of this letter? And why is it important for us to remember these Old Testament figures of faith? This song too recalls some of those heroes in the Old Testament. And we're going to sing that together now and then conclude our message. Welcome back. We've been looking at some of the heroes of faith in the Old Testament, as shown in Hebrews chapter 11, who were being praised for not what they did. It wasn't the end result that they were praised for, but for staying faithful, for trusting God, for enduring, even when times were tough. Why is this an important message for the original recipients of this letter? Well, we learned just at the end of the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 10, that those who had accepted Jesus had to endure some serious suffering, which has included insult and persecution, imprisonment, had some of their property taken away. But in all of that, they trusted in God and knew that those things were temporary and that God's permanent, everlasting kingdom was coming, and they trusted in that. They would know these Old Testament figures inside out. So the writer is encouraging them not to focus on the end result, not to focus on what these figures achieved due to their faith, but to be inspired by their endurance, to be inspired by their trust in God as they endured tough times, such as the Christians receiving this letter will have done. Like the heroes of the Old Testament, the heroes of faith, the Christian recipients of this letter may not live to see the complete fulfillment. They might not live to see God's kingdom fully emerge on earth, but there was an inspiration, an encouragement to endure, to trust in God, the way that these familiar figures did. But how about for us? In some ways, we're not so different to those Christians who first received that letter. Our challenges may not be so much about being imprisoned or having our property taken away, but it could be still about being insulted, being judged for our beliefs, on having to contend with repeated challenges of what we believe. Plus, in the midst of that, some universal challenges of suffering all around us, illness of ourselves and others. There are all these things that sometimes cause us to think, where is God? But in the same way that the first recipients of this letter were inspired to remember the faithfulness of the great figures of the past and to endure their circumstances, the same is true for us. In those moments where it's tough, there's an encouragement to shift our focus from the circumstances and from the achievements or the lack of achievements that we've seen in certain areas. Because it's not about the achievements, it's about the trust. And shift our attention to God's faithfulness, to his promise of his kingdom, and ultimately a time when Jesus will return. We will be with him, and there will be no more suffering, no more death. Every tear will be wiped away. Next week, we'll be looking at how we can run this race with perseverance. But now let's respond in prayer. Let's ask God to help us remain faithful. faithful, to remove our focus from the circumstances around us and to help us look to him with trust, with hope for the future, for to be certain of what we do not see, God's coming kingdom.